guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's Mike Jade Erickson-Berard with the rest of the crew for That D&D Podcast Plays Pathfinder 2nd Edition. That's right, we are continuing our Kindled Magic campaign, part of the Strength of Thousands adventure path. I hope you all have been having as much fun as we have as we plumb the depths of just how far centipedes are willing to go to protect a kitchen. With me is my usual crew, and they can introduce themselves, and we record using Discord, so I call it Discord Order, just so everybody has an idea. Take us away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Adam, he, him. Today, I will be playing Firebird, who I don't think had any problems with centipedes. Made him crispy.
No, but you murdered those scamps, you heartless bastard.
Hi, I'm Jonathan, he, him. I'll be playing Glenn the Druid tonight, which is he, Druid. And I think I'm really looking forward to becoming the Tattooed Druid.
Hi, Matt, he, they, playing Jonas, who very much had a problem with centipedes last time, and is very, very glad that it did not become Bug Chow. I'm sure we'll figure something out to deal with that.
And that leaves me. Hi, I'm Zach. I'm playing Thorka, and she very nearly became Bug Chow. To the point where, yeah, she has restructured some of her studies around not having that happen again.
All right, yeah. And like I said, I am Mike. So when last we left, our stalwart students, they had just finished successfully not burning down the kitchen, although that was definitely a thing that they had considered doing due to the infestation of massive centipedes in the dining hall. Upon enlisting some of the going to talk to Anchor Root about the situation, Anchor Root revealed that she had centipede antivenom that she had been brewing for her chicken, who had been eating an inordinate number of much smaller, regular-sized centipedes, as they have recently infested the student dorms. There are still a few more places that Corriday, your teacher, and head of the, or co-head of the Reinscribe House, I believe, would like you to check out. The Leshy Gardens and the Speaker's Stage. Both of those places had been indicated as being infested with some unusual insects.
Wasn't the Leshy Stage the place where that bug person came at me with an axe?
The speaker stage, yeah, that was actually the introduction ceremony at the where was that? You know, maybe it's the same place. The ceremonial stage.
Okay, different
this,
stage.
This is the speaker stage.
Okay, yeah. So maybe we won't get violently murdered here.
we haven't been successfully murdered yet.
Yeah, nobody expects to be violently murdered at the dining hall either, and yet. Yeah, so there are two places. There's a Leshy Garden and a speaker's stage. Where would you all like to head first?
I like the garden.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems more peaceful than stages, as we've seen, which are horrifying fonts of violence every time we've been there.
Okay, I'm not positive on this, but I think your experience with stages may not be typical. Again, I'm not the one to ask.
I'm sorry. Are you a cat lecturing me on my, like...
Oh, no. It's pretty typical in my experience as Jonas moves forward.
Jonas only performs behind one of those screens like a roadhouse.
Need the little Pope mobile to get to and from the stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily the Leshy Gardens are not a stage in any way. They are only nominally gardens, though. They are gardens more in the sense of an area intended for a certain type of cultivation, and that cultivation is just riotously wild, right? It is more a garden in Glenn's ideal sense of what a garden is than a garden in the sense of, oh, this is where I planted some flowers. No, it's a riotous tangle of trees, shrubs, vines, right? There are also dedicated green spaces for stuff to grow that is not, you know, wild, untamed foliage. But it is mostly, it is very clearly a dedicated area for the flourishing of nature as opposed to like specific types of plant life. This is the area set aside for nature to grow wild.
Looking around, do I see any insects?
It is like a mega forest, right? It's a part forest, part jungle, right? Part, you know, both of those are forests. It's both a deciduous forest and a tropical forest slammed together.
Okay.
Right? Normally, forests don't have, you know, trunk to trunk growth because they have to like provide room for like everything to grow. But this is like everything is just turbo grown here. There still manages to be paths deeper into the grove, that are like you got to look for them. They're not. It's not clear from the outset that there's any way to pass this area, and they're all windy as they go in. So it's not like, oh, this is a clearly traveled animal path that deers happen to walk down every day to get from inside the forest where it's safe to water. No, this is just the paths are magically sculpted where they've asked the righteously grown foliage to like maybe give us a foot here for non-plant things. And yeah, there are insects. You don't see any giant insects, right? There's not like a prolific number of centipedes like there are in the dorms. There are nothing larger than like your finger. Like they're all normal sized insects that you would, at least by your estimate, on the outside here.
Is there anyone that's like gardening?
I mean, there's a groundskeeper, Thelma. They're not here right now. And there are also the leshies that live here, but they're deeper inside. This is like a couple acre patch of woodland.
And what was the mandate we came here with? What are we supposed to do?
So Corday asked y'all to go to check in with Enkerut and go to the Leshy Gardens, the speaker stage, and the kitchen to resolve infestations of unusual insects. So the Leshies themselves have asked you to come help them out with some bugs.
I'm going to pull a mango from my pack. I'm going to take a big bite of it. And then I'm going to chuck it near the underbrush. And see if the bugs show up like they did last time.
A vine snakes out from the underbrush and wraps itself around the mango and pulls the mango deeper into the woods.
I don't like that. Don't like that at all. No. All right, somebody else can take point on this one. That's fine. I'll be back here.
Okay, it was a vine, you said? Oh, yeah, okay.
So do we think that we're supposed to go...
Sorry, I'm still looking at every once in a while at my computer, like, did my mic cut out or not?
Nope, too good.
Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, do we think we need to go in and find the Leshy encampment or tribe, whatever they call themselves?
Oh,
I mean, yeah, like they...
Sorry, I just placed what you meant by Leshy. Yeah, they're just people.
Yeah, they're plant people.
Well, do they... I mean, maybe they have gardens then or something, or... I don't know.
Yeah, so Glenn's going to look for some signs of, like, you know, I guess what a Leshy path would look like. In general, like, where they tend to walk through or something like that, try and find a way to where their camp is. We're supposed to check in with them. I don't know if you want to say that. Survival or nature or something along those lines, or survival nature.
So this this critter walks out from underneath the, from between two tree trunks that did not look like there was path for anything to walk through. It is, you know, I'm assuming these things are small. I don't actually know how large they are.
They are,
these
yeah.
are like adult human size, and this is kind of terrifying. So imagine a cabbage had teeth. And extrapolate that to a person.
Sorry, I'm stuck on the cabbage head teeth.
Yeah, this guy looks like the Predator if he was a...
So it's a Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like the Predator as a Cabbage Patch doll. Yes, is what this visual I'm getting here. That is a terrifying creature.
Yeah, it's got a head like a cabbage with teeth and big old black dark ink pool eyes. It's wearing... not clothing. It's wearing grown wood armor? It's got everything appears to be kind of leafy. It has two leaf-like growths growing out of its back that appears to be some sort of cape. It's got a fan of leaves for head or hair. It looks very vegetal, and the parts that aren't clearly, vegetal are thorns or like wood. Right? It's a plant person, 3 foot tall plant person. It's got this nice little walking stick / quarterstaff / spear thing, and it's eating a mango.
Nice. We have something in common. Can we just talk about the fact that it has like razor sharp thorn teeth? Like, I'm not sure what I expected them to have teeth like, but that is a very intimidating set of choppers.
It's the grass type version of those little creatures from Galaxy Quest, almost.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Is the mango he's holding, or it is holding, they are holding, is that the same mango that I threw in? Or is that a new mango?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's the mango you gave it. You gave that. Right.
I'm going to keep my distance, but I'm definitely going to appreciate their appreciation of mangoes.
You're just going to look out and give them that nod, that silent nod. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna be like, hey, we heard you have some problems with some centipedes or something we're supposed to look into.
Oh, not centipedes, but, beetles. You wanna come take a look?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Cool, so, Corday sent you.
Yes? I assume that's correct.
Yes,
I
just yes, they did. The name.
So, well, you got promised not to tell... Well, you're students, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. You gotta not tell the other students what we're doing in here. And you can't... I don't want you to have an unfair advantage.
There's so much to unpack there.
Jonas makes the locking their lips symbol.
Do you have a still back there?
Gods, I wish.
Something like that. Yeah, it's a. So you know the Star Day tournament's coming up.
Sure.
Right? Yes, Star Day. You definitely knew that. Yes.
Yeah, it's the.
Maybe you knew that. I've been in my room writing poetry.
Oh well, it's where we all get together and fight.
How did you not know about this?
I'm still nodding in the background. Yes.
It's a sparring tournament. We do it every month.
Huh. Monthly?
Yeah. I mean, last month was an exception, but yeah, every month.
Okay.
So it's sort of always coming up.
Yeah. And so we got a plan for how to, help the students improve.
Does it involve alcohol? Because I'm going back to the still thing, and I'm for this.
I assume it involves beating of asses. You have a bunch of giant switches back there, don't you?
Okay. So yeah, as long as you promise not to tell the other students, you can come on back.
This sounds way too funny not to tell tell the other students? Yeah, I agree. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's way funnier if they just have to find out themselves.
Alright, so Bleshy beckons you into the woods, and the trees just kind of part for them. And as you follow, you start being able to make out that there are a lot of these plant folk around. Some of them are leaf fleshies, like you're the one that you're following. Some are gourd leshies that look like pumpkin people. And there's a couple like... yeah, if you thought the leaf leshy was terrifying, there are flytrap leshy that... Yeah. it's like an ambulatory... Little Shop of Horrors, right? This is a...
It looks like... The art looks like a gremlin. Like a vegetative gremlin. Yeah. Gremlin.
It looks like a grim version of that one Digimon.
Yeah, I don't know... Yeah. While the other Leshies are plant eaters, this one is not.
It just supplements itself with some insect protein.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Sure, insects.
This one is...
It's been hitting the supplements? Okay.
That thing is absolutely catching rabbits in its hands.
Yeah, it just kind of stands there. It doesn't appear to be moving, but its head is certainly swiveling as you pass. So you break out into like a little bit of a clearing inside of the gardens. And there's like this like pre-industrial like assembly line where you've got plant and gourd leshy, leaf and gourd leshies producing wood out of the trees to what appears to be no ill effect to the trees, some sort of wood shaping thing going on. And then further down this line, the various leshies are building parts and assembling what look like tiny mechs. So they are giant suits of armor that the one or more leshy operates. So they go from being these, they're 3 foot tall creatures inside of 10, 12 foot tall wooden constructs.
We've just gone full Codename Kids Next Door here with this shit.
Yeah, yeah. There are tower shields that are 10 foot tall that are being wielded by these leshies with maniacal grins. There are giant battle hammers and axes. There are scythes, sickles, stabbing implements. It's all made of wood, so it's probably not going to stab you through. And also, like, there is a small army of very large, of very small creatures driving around very large wooden constructs. So, the problem is we've got these bugs that are chewing on our constructs. And, the leaf leshy walks over and points at this beetle that is literally chewing a hole in this 10-foot wooden tower shield. And he just straight up smashes it. The beetle, not the
tower shield. The shield.
And like bark beetles, you know, they're part of nature. You expect to see some of them. But not these. They're dramatically larger than the type of beetle that you would expect to see, you know, inhabiting any sort of tree. If you could, So Corday, we'd like Corday to fix the problem. I'm not sure what you need from us.
Do we know any, like, would we know, we'd be familiar with these type of beetles, right? Like, we've seen these, these are a bigger version.
Yeah, anybody trained in nature is familiar with, I mean, they're just, like, bark beetles are not, they're pests that trees get, but they're not, like, deadly to the trees for the most part. And they're usually, like, really tiny. They're like a weevil-sized critter.
And these are like fist size?
5 millimeters normally. These things are like 6 inches.
Oh, geez. Okay. What are the normal, like, methods of... Because there's definitely a way to get these out of trees, right? What is that?
Well, birds eat them. Like, they're just normally bird food, right?
Oh. So we're in a Kowakian and monkey lizard situation.
I think Glenn's gonna just like stare intently at it for a little bit to read aura, see if the thing is magic or affected by magic. The squash.
Ooh, I'll cast guidance on it. That's a good idea. Yes.
Yeah, these things are absolutely have been absolutely augmented in the same way that the centipedes had.
Okay. Well, and let's see here. The school of magic, so that's probably what alteration or transmutation. Same thing, but
yeah, something like that. I'd have to look up exactly what it is. Yeah.
I guess the question I have is, they're not magically summoned beetles. They're normal beetles that just got bigs and bigged. Okay.
Can you roll perception or arcana or nature or something like that?
Sure. We're going to ignore the arcana comment. We don't believe in arcana. But all the rest of those are the same.
Stop talking about skills I don't have. Stop.
I mean, I have it. Oh, wait, perception's a default roll, isn't it now? Yeah. Well, I just realized it's not on the skill page. That's weird.
No, it's not, because it's not really a skill.
Well, either way, this is perception or... Wait, what? Type? Why do... Sorry, I clicked the... I clicked the modifier button. Oh. Whatever. Perception. Rolling. I have keen eyes, so I could add +2 to that if it's something about noticing tiny details. As it happens.
And yeah, just from glancing over all these, wooden suits of armor / wooden constructs, you don't know why the Leshies didn't pick up on it, but the beetles are, chewing patterns into the armor, into the constructs.
Whoa. So
this is not random. It is very deliberate.
Cool. Yeah!
Can we tell what kind of pattern this is?
Yeah, throw down some arcana or nature.
All right.
Sounds suspiciously like work, but...
we'll throw one down. Boom. Nope. Those look like the patterns that these beetles make when they're carving into giant wooden mechs.
I concur.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
All right, with y'all's power combined.
No, wait. Thorka's the one who has to school us? Yes.
It's Thorka's turn for the brain cell.
Yeah, Thorka got a 15. So Thorka, Firebird, Jonas, and Glenn.
This looks like a giant mango.
Firebird, Jonas, and Glenn get, devolve into this, in-depth discussion about the more esoteric matters involving, alignments of the moon and based upon where the stars are, what this is, these are summoning runes. They're talking about. Maybe they're off on a snipe hunt. This is absolutely, they are runes meant to summon or conjure something.
Okay. All right. Do I have any idea what?
God, no.
Okay.
I mean, you were close, but all of you combined did not, if it was a combined skill check, they're distracting you.
We're very good at that, being distracting.
Guys, hey, folks, I saw something like this in a class, yeah? The lines are a thing? Wasn't there a dude in our dorm that, summoned things? It looks like that. That thing.
Okay.
Why would they want to summon out of a Leshy shield? That's weird.
Well, I mean, there's one way to find out. What shield have they damaged the most, Sir Leshy?
I mean, they're trying to repair stuff as they notice it. So it's not... Mm-hmm. There's... None of these summoning sigils or runes are, totally complete. You might be able to get a whole bunch of them together and click them into place in order to finish a summoning circle or rune, but that doesn't seem like a great idea either.
Are you kidding? That sounds like an awesome idea.
We're just gonna end the campaign by summoning a demon right here. It's fine.
We've already done that, by the way. That already happened. We failed that one roll real hard. Mm-hmm. No, these beetles are just running around, right?
The beetles don't appear... They don't appear to be doing anything intentionally. Right? They just look like insects.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to grab one of these Leshy shields. And I'm going to like Sparta kick it to knock it down, I guess, onto the ground. And then I'm going to grab three beetles and I'm going to just like throw them at it.
Yeah.
Hey, Tharka, do you have a mango?
I do, in fact. I have so many mangoes.
Could I have one?
Sure.
Glenn takes the mango and like smears it all over the shield, trying to encourage them all to work on this shield because there's delicious mango on it as well, or mango juice.
Cool, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, and as you watch, they start gnawing into the wood, and you know it's going to take a while, but they are absolutely. There's no clear indication that they're working together. But their separate efforts sure seem to be producing an intended common outcome.
Swarm dynamics.
Okay.
It's super interesting.
We're going to keep an eye on them, and we're definitely not letting them finish this thing. But as soon as it becomes a recognizable thing, I want to know what it is. And then we'll separate them with their children who have misbehaved.
Let's see. So there's specific summoning spells, right? All right. Well, you let them go for a while. And it is a conjuration. It's a combination of things. So they are functionally protection runes. They are conjuring up a defense, and then on the inside of that they are trying to summon something insectile and not natural. That is as much as you can get from, you know, clearly summoning, clearly protection runes, clearly intent to draw, pull in, or create something insectile, but whatever it is not.
Does Thorka relay this?
Sure, yes. And as I'm doing it, as soon as it starts becoming apparent, I grab two of the bugs, like all but one of the bugs, basically, and just hurl them into the woods. Just as hard as I can. I'm like, okay, so they're trying to summon some sort of unnatural insect, both of which are words I hate. So.
I hate, and, like, that seems real familiar, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, you think this one's gonna have an axe? Because the last one had an axe. And
I'm wondering if gross.
I don't know, do we let this last one finish it and just punch it to death, or do we, like...
I really don't want to. Jonas is, like, rotating their joints.
I am super curious.
Yes.
Okay, is it gonna be bigger or smaller than the last one?
Well, the reason the reason I'm really curious is because we were told this was not a combat encounter. So, I really want to see how this goes. If we just let this thing be summoned, like, what does it do?
Okay, hold on a sec. Let's be reasonable. This is the Leshy's home. We don't want to summon a random thing here. So, Thorka, could you get a couple beetles and put them in a jar? And we'll take the shield with us.
All right, sure. Let's do this. They got the spare washroom back at the dorm. We could just do it there, right?
I love the idea of three bookish types in Thorka lugging around, you know, a 10-foot tall tower shield for a wood golem, basically.
My favorite part of that image, though, is that they gave Thorka the job of collecting the bugs, and the nerds are carrying the shield. Uh-huh.
Nerd nothing.
I was just preparing to set the shield on fire, so I'm not really helping carry this thing back.
Whatever. So the thing is that Glenn is actually kind of buff.
He just doesn't act like it.
I was gonna say, like, Jonas isn't a slouch. He's rocking 12 strength.
For a half, yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say nerds. I just said bookish types. I just want to make sure that, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, you're definitely
Glenn has a 14. He's actually, like, very buff for a halfling, so, like, all right, fine.
5 foot tall, white as a house.
Yeah, he's, no, wider he's like, than he is
small
tall.
And wiry.
Yep.
Wiry.
All right, where are we actually taking this? Like,
well, do we want to be reasonable, or do we actually want to find out what this summons?
I think we should take it back and ask someone who knows. If we're actually going to do the thing, and we're not going to just, like, always sunny, like animals, animal house our way through this shit, we should actually go ask a person who knows what's going on.
So that's one vote for reasonable.
Well, do we also need to take care of the beetle problem before we leave?
My personal suspicion is that if we figure out what this is, that will help us fix the beetle problem.
Do we have a way of stopping the beetles right now?
So,
go smash.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you no, because then you'd find a way, right? Like, it's not right.
Yeah,
you weren't asked to solve the problem, so you don't have to if you don't want to. You were just asked to investigate and, like, bring back a sample.
Okay, we're absolutely doing both of those things right now. Mission accomplished. Unfurl the banner.
If,
go.
If you want me to, again, if you want to be, you are totally capable of eradicating the beetles, right? In the same way that you're capable of getting rid of the gremlins before that becomes the encounter.
It's a forest and we have fire magic. We can get this done if we want to.
And I've got the stats for the leshy, so we're good to go.
Oh, Jesus. It wouldn't be the first time I've punched a plant, so.
Oh, that's a good point. Hey, Mr. Leshy, dude, they're, like, eating summoning symbols into your stuff, so you really probably don't want to let them finish. Or maybe you do, in which case you can come with us. We're going
to
probably do
that. Summoning, like, probably a nastier buggy thing.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, was that a natural bug?
Yeah, we're not, to be clear, right? Like, every time we see one, we feed him to those guys, and he points his thumb back at the flytrap one that's just sitting there staring at you.
Yeah.
See?
Supplementary insect protein.
Are they currently experiencing any sort of intestinal distress, or...
It's not... They haven't...
Other...
Those guys don't talk a whole lot.
I guess it's rude to chew with their mouth full.
They got, like, 4 mouths on them. Yeah. You got, like, 4 mouths you don't talk. How's that work?
Maybe they're just being polite? I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll go talk to him, actually. I'm going to go walk up to them. Like, so, I hear you guys eating bugs.
Do you speak Druidic?
How does one learn Druidic? Because I am a nature monk who has multiclassed into Druid.
Well, fortunately, I'm sponsoring a correspondent course for only 5 coppers a month.
I think you actually get it from the...
From the dedication?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, I think you. It's a secret.
Yep.
Shut up.
It's a secret language. Yeah.
You learn the Druidic language, absolutely.
Yep.
And I speak it with a terrible accent.
Yeah.
Yo, bros. I hear you eat the bugs. Yeah.
Glenn literally just cringes from across the clearing. Just like, oh.
Listen, bro. I hear you eat bug.
Yeah. So. The flytrap leshy's mouth doesn't move, right? And you just, you hear it. It definitely is speaking. You're not hearing it in your head. It's not telepathy. But it's not like, its mouth doesn't flap when it talks.
So you do have 4 mouths and don't talk. Great. Okay.
I eat a lot of things.
Big bugs, yeah? These? And I, like, rattle the jar I've got the bugs in at them.
We tend to eat anything that comes in here uninvited.
Was that a threat to me currently?
Do you want it to be a threat?
I would prefer not.
I think you're okay.
But, great. Do these bugs taste weird to you?
I'm not sure. I don't. Yeah. It takes a bit for the flytrap Leshy to kind of like understand what you're asking. And then it says, we dissolve food in acid, it's not like we taste them. They dissolve fine, and its nutrients continue to supplement our garden.
And then they'll give you a tummy ache or whatever you have, no? Is good food?
They break down into organic compounds that we are able to absorb and distribute throughout us. Yes.
You big help. Thank you. I'll just turn and walk away because, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do here to find out. All right. Yeah, let's go ask someone who might know something. Look it up somewhere.
Yeah, it is a school. There are multiple libraries.
Terrorize Anchor Root somehow? Like, there's so many options.
You terrorize Anchor Root by looking at her, making eye contact.
Terrible. And now I can address Anchor Root in Druidic, with my terrible accent, and it'll be great.
Is she a druid?
Do you want to swing by the speaker stage on your way back?
Oh, that's a great place for a fight.
We probably should.
We should absolutely, yes. We should finish whatever this is there.
It worked last time.
Yes. It went so well last time, we didn't almost die to that dog and the bug with an axe.
All right. Are you taking any precautions before you let the bug finish the inscription?
Oh, I think the first thing we were going to do is go look at the stage. We were supposed to go look at that.
Okay. Yeah, let's go look at the stage. All the bugs we currently have are contained, and they will not be uncontained until I announce it.
So the Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to keep a good eye on the shield to make sure that there aren't any sneaky bugs coming in.
Sneaky bug.
So the speaker stage is it's the place for pronouncements to the town from the school. So it's more like, you know how castles, like the people who live in the castle will come onto like a balcony or something to address the town folk that the castle protects.
So it's a talking parapet. Yeah,
but it's the Magambian equivalent, right? It is a slightly raised platform that juts out over some water. With a reflective kind of sound barrier put behind it so that the speaker on the stage can address like an assembly of folk from, so someone from the Gamambia can address folk, the townsfolk, the folk from Natambu. And also, this is a place where students and teachers will put on plays or performances because that's kind of what, like, there's a whole school branch devoted to, oral history and continuing tradition like that and that sort of thing. So there always tends to be some townsfolk nearby just to keep an eye and see if anything interesting is happening. And so there are some townsfolk on the other side, just kind of like there's somebody there with, like, a hand pie that's just sitting on a bench, you know, looking out over the water. And speaking of the water, it's not like a moat, but it's a, what's the phrase here? It's an artificial island that's been magically illuminated. It was placed where representatives could make pronunciations. Yeah. And everything's always free of charge. Performances are free of charge. Ah, it's a canal. So the canal, that this is built over is, riddled with water striders, like large, not huge, but large bugs that are, again, 6 to 12 inches in size, you know, 10 times the size of a normal bug, are just all over the place.
That D&D Podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Umoja by Alexander Nakarada, which is available from freestockmusic.com. Nakarada's music can also be found on serpentsoundstudios.com. Outro music is Horizons by Etch, which can be found on SoundCloud or at ATCH Music on Instagram. The Kindled Magic book was written by Eleanor Farron and Alexandria Bustian and is a part of the Strength of Thousands Pathfinder Path. The Pathfinder role-playing game is owned and published by Paizo Publishing. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associate copyright holder.